Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the lovely Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Happy Tuesday. It's a nice one here in Southern California, for sure.
It's nice here in Texas as well.
Lovely.
So, yes. Good time of year. And sounds like a lot's been going on for both of our respective coachnesses this last week. So it's good just kind of be on the show, just ourselves. I was talking to a listener, and they're like, oh, they were so excited that we were going to be by ourselves. And
yeah, we need to
talk about stuff.
Concerted effort to do that once in a while. I just love our guests, and you know, it's so much fun to let our audience, our listeners, know how many different types of coaches, styles of coaching, and we do business coaching, and I do business startup coaching, and clinical nutrition, and so wellness coaching. And Bruce, you want to talk a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I do a lot of executive coaching. Mostly executive coaching. So
and counseling,
and counseling. Yes, I have a counseling practice as well. But on the coach front, it definitely surrounds executive coaching. So,
you and I've talked about, and I'm not sure we've talked about this on the air so much, but, When you do business coaching and executive coaching and some of the coaching styles that, you know, we go out and help people with, there's always a level of personal development coaching in there, right? Because as people are building a business or building an empire or building a division or building a team, a lot of their own personal stuff does come up in coaching. And of course, coaching is the utmost in confidentiality and discretion. A coaching relationship to me is a very unique, sacred relationship. And so we do a lot of personal development in the business coaching. I call it that, clearing the debris, you know, like getting things sort of dealt with and out of the way in terms of the emptying out, getting to know somebody phase of coaching, the initial sessions, so that they can get down to what do they want to do and where they're going and how they need to map that out. What's your perspective on that, Bruce?
Yeah, I think so too. And even in some of the executive coaching cases, we get to that maybe a little bit further down the road, or maybe around the same time. You know, I'll perform the 360 evaluation and use some other evaluation measures, you know, collect some data about the person. That's not only self-report data, but other observations as well, and kind of utilize that data.
What are some of the other data points that you do use? People out there listening may be interested in that if they need an executive coach.
Sure. I mean, there's just a lot of different tools. I mean, I like the Hogan. Some people like the Myers-Briggs.
Right.
I'm just so sick of that. I could just, you know, but
tell us how you really feel about it, Bruce.
Well, I mean, it's not that bad, but it's just overused. I know there's some things with some new. There's a Myers-Briggs that's kind of for executives now, and I'm starting to learn and read on that. There's some measures that look at mental competency, and I like this StrengthsFinder 2.0. Because, you know, as a former scientist practitioner type of thing, you know, the Gallup data is so good. There's millions of people in that data set. And once you start to really link up to significantly with certain clusters in that data set, that really kind of tells you where your strengths are. And so, you know, kind of borrowing from the coaching philosophy is that if we can build on somebody's strengths, right, we're not focusing too much time on their weaknesses. or their shortcomings. We're really kind of building out the strengths,
right.
And I think by default.
And that plays well. You know. That plays very well in an executive role, because my philosophy when I was in executive roles is you cannot be good at everything. And if you are constantly working and trying to, you know, climb that learning curve of the things you don't have strength in, you may lose focus at the primary role you have in a company, you know. So there's something to be said for that and the balance of that. So you see this as very applicable from a data standpoint in determining what somebody's strengths are.
Yeah, and I think it's good for our clients to see what their strengths are. You know, they don't necessarily
absolutely.
Know. They respond. They respond to the paper, pencil, measure, and they'll answer questions and such as that. But to really kind of sit down with them and say, okay, here is really, you know, who you are and what you're really good at. And we're able to get to that level and to get to that depth without some sort of, bizarre, experience to bring somebody down or some sort of a, psychotherapy moment. We can just kind of do it and really just quickly look at those results and apply them forward to their goals, whether it be what you're saying with a business startup and those things, or is it more of a development goal. So,
very positive focused. That's what I like about it. It's positive, right?
Right. I am coaching a gentleman now, a client who, it was a real interesting situation where the relationship began was with him coping with a terminal illness, his own terminal illness. And still perform on the job. And now that he's really turned a corner with his illness in terms of some positive movement in his treatment, he was actually given, if you will, and awarded, and rightfully so, I won't want to say a promotion, but a very expanded role in his work. And now the coaching relationship, he calls me yesterday to inform me that my job description has now changed, that we'll be working on his relationships with his new role. It's a new cast of characters in a new town and such as that. And I'm like, okay. And so
everything changes, right?
There's a big change there mid game on this engagement. And
a lot of times that happens, you know, you coach somebody and, you know, life does not just go in one direct line. I mean, you know, stuff happens. I say it a different way usually, but and things that you don't expect, and your story changes and you have to adjust to your story. And sometimes that's positive change, and sometimes that's not so positive that you need to turn into a happy story. So that's awesome that he was awarded that. That's a really nice thing to hear when somebody has a really serious situation going in their personal life, and they step up and they get the expanded role because they perform despite it. And, you know, I love that story right there.
And it just keeps getting better. So his year-end evaluation was at hand, and he had forgotten that he had persevered through stage four illness and received this. And I said, "Hey, are you going to talk about that in your self-eval?" Like, "Oh, I forgot." It's like, "Yeah, man. Like, if there was ever a year for you to toot your horn," which is
no kidding.
He's not tooting his horn, folks. He's just merely. You know, well, you got to advocate for yourself. I mean, he did the work, and he's got to stand up and let that be known. And sometimes the way these corporate environments are structured, that person that's a key player in your rating doesn't necessarily know a whole heck of a lot about you. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but that happens. I'm sure there's some people nodding their heads out there, and
of course,
listeners are going, yeah. So that was just another piece to that having me there as an objective outsider. Now, I'm his advocate. Don't make no mistake about it. I am my client's advocate for sure, but he's got to advocate for himself and move on to the next horizon here. So that's just
Bruce, what I hear you doing is what I say a lot, that a coach is a reminder. That's one of the key roles we play in terms of people determining what do you want and what do you really want, and why do you want it and how are you going to get there? And then sometimes you have to remind people. So what you acted at, just reminding him that, you know, you had a big deal to deal with in your personal life and you still, you know, marched at work and really made some huge strides. And I think you reminding him of that was probably a really great moment for him, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh,
because
yeah.
A lot of times we are just soldiers in life, professionally, personally, and we're just doing the things that we know we need to take care of and the things that we know are the right thing to do. And a lot of times we don't stop and recognize our own accomplishments. And so that is a key role to remind your clients. Look how far you've come. Look what you've done. Yeah. Look what you still need to do. Or, you know, or let's get you back on track because this is something you really have worked hard for. And this, yeah, it's getting tough. But don't give up, you know, when it's getting tough, keep going. Keep, you know, applying the tools and checking, you know, the things you need to do to continue to get there. So that's awesome that he was able to do that.
It is awesome. And, you know, it's also a form of personal accountability. And I believe firmly that if you don't have accountability, you're not going to have growth. And that accountability
is huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And so our role, or I'll speak for me, my role, right, is to make him personally accountable. And that was an instance of that. It doesn't sound like I was, but I actually was making him assert himself, not making him, it's a bad verb, but,
yeah.
You know, telling him to be his advocate for himself and his accomplishments and what he's done and the backdrop behind that. And that, like you said, that has made a difference. And now let me share, while it's on my mind, I'll share with you we'll call that case the North Pole, and we'll call this other person the South Pole. So I have another, competent and high-earning C-suite executive that I have an engagement with, and this individual, I don't want to say avoids me like the plague, but this is interesting because we've talked about in coaching that, you know, coaching, you know, your coachee usually wants to be there. And
well, maybe he doesn't understand it yet. Maybe.
Well,
right
now to be honest,
or he doesn't want to be accountable.
Well, right? and this referral was kind of handed down from a higher authority. So
okay, there you go.
He wasn't a self ID. So to his credit, I can see why that. But now, conversely, you know, this individual, you know, knew that he had been, you know, he has me as his coach and I'm going to be there and present for the next 6 months. And so knowing that, not, you know, now I ping him every day, call, email, stuff like that, you know, really, and he'll engage here and there. But then I'll go back to the stakeholders and I'll go back to some of the supervisees and say, how is our person doing? Man, he's doing great. You are just doing the best job ever. I mean, this guy's turned around. He's more active.
Just because he knows he has a coach to be accountable.
Exactly.
To, right?
Exactly. And I'm like,
he's stepping up his game. He's stepping up his game. Good for him.
Right. Good for him. Right. So, you know, this is one of those interesting moments, Cindy, where I wouldn't say I'm doing nothing. I am definitely reaching out to this individual. I'm pinging them. I'm asking questions. They do get with me occasionally on the phone. But, you know, at the end of the day, the efficacy here is what we're getting in output, right? So I don't get to shine with all my great coaching techniques per se, but howdy, is this guy delivering the goods? And at the end of the day,
he's motivating himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it is a victory. It is a victory.
But maybe at some point he will allow you, you know, he will feel the need, because coaching is, you know, primarily, it's not always, obviously, you know, the employers hire, corporations hire coaches, and, you know, they have us come in, and sometimes the person is not as willing as the next, right?
Right.
Typically in coaching, though, people come to a coach if they're coming themselves because they know they want to change. There's something they want to get out of life personally, professionally, and they need the support to get there. They want to be held accountable they want somebody. I always say, to me, you know, one of my sayings is two heads are better than one.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing what can start happening when you have two people working in concert for somebody's better good. And it's very inspiring. And you get very connected to your clients. I don't know if you feel this way, but it's almost like you're in tandem. You're like working synergistically with somebody, and it really some good shit comes out of that, you know?
Yeah. There you go. You said the shit word here on LA Talk Radio.
I usually only do that when I teach, they laugh because I won't take it further, but you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
It stands for ship high in transit, for they would haul manure on the Mayflower. But anyway, a little thing there. That is an interesting interesting paradigm, and another thing. I'm just a wealth of energy today here, Cindy. But
yes,
you know, in
yes.
lieu of, there have been some airline snafus in the airline industry, right? In one in particular,
never in that industry.
One in particular is the this recent American episode where the flight attendant got angry at the lady passenger with the stroller and really showed a good deal of anger. And as you know, I have been retained by a major airline to handle those issues in a coaching format. As a matter of fact, I was contacted by a media outlet about coaching versus discipline.
That's a very good thing to talk about, because they are completely different things.
They are completely different things. And so, when I saw that, so I sent out a tweet, ladies and gentlemen, that I was available to do anger management coaching, and I put the @ on American Airlines. So I'm sure I'm in somebody's wastebasket right now or somebody's watch list. But anyway, and here's, in a perfect world, that person could be coached. You could do some anger management work.
Absolutely.
You could do a 6 to 9 week program with them. And in this instance, folks, not only would American leadership would sign off on it, but the flight attendants union would sign off on it, because it's not punitive. You know, we're not sending this person to a clinical psychologist for fitness for duty or necessarily. Maybe we are. I don't know. I don't work for that company, or I wasn't there on the flight to see the gravity of the meltdown. But yes, in a more perfect world, you know, this person can be coached. And so that works with different food groups, right? We have anger issues. We have folks that sexually harass others. We have folks that are maybe racist, sexist, mm-hmm. or ageist, that say naughty things.
Mm-hmm. Just personal crisis that's interfering with their work performance. Family issues, awesome. Health issues. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things that affect somebody's ability to perform at times. And you know, it's interesting. I know the airlines. You know, I traveled for years, and you do quite a bit of traveling now too. And you know, I had like a remarkable experience recently with a stewardess. She was so, you know, like some of them are fabulous. And
stewardess?
Stewardess. And did I say it wrong?
Do people, anyway, flight attendant, maybe.
Flight attendant. I still 90s. Say it. I know. Yeah. I still say it the old fashioned
okay,
way.
Go ahead. That's
but,
all right.
You know, I've had some really good experiences, and I've traveled for so many years that I have had those bad experiences that were very upsetting to me. But I think, you know, the industry takes a lot of flack, whereas think about the stress points, the frustration, you know, how many people are really at the brink of going postal or having a meltdown in the boardroom. You know what I mean? Like, it happens in all industries, but I think that's such a visible industry. And when somebody does something like that, it really hits the news. But one of my favorite stories about that in my corporate experience was a coworker shared that, you know, she was in a, you know, we were in a board, and it was a company I worked for, in the boardroom, in the meeting, and one of the executives just got up and he walked outside, and it was snowing, and he just kept walking in the field. He just left the meeting and kept walking. Now, at the time, that was kind of a funny story to me, but, you know, think about it, you know, how many people just reach their boiling point, and it is human to do that at times. So coaching to me is very appropriate for that, very appropriate to see what's really going on, right?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Full circle, not just that incident on the plane, but, you know, what else is going on that led up to it? You know, what's contributing to it, to the stress load, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, sometimes I'm reminded of another gentleman that I worked with who was in a board meeting. We'll just call it a board. We went to a board meeting, but it was an important meeting, right, with the executives from the company and executives from the customer company. And this man had recently grieved the loss of a close relative and was going through a divorce at the same time.
Two whammies,
and it was actually the ongoing divorce that was really chewing this guy up on the inside. So and this particular individual is about 6'7", 300 pounds, just a real big presence individual. Really a captain of industry in his sector, and one of the C-suite executives from the customer side touched him on the shoulder before the meeting and said, "Hey, I just, you know, before we start the meeting, I just want to let you know we're here for you, and we're sorry, you know, we're very sorry to hear of the loss of your father." Now, on the inside, this guy is hearing that, but he's also running through the absolute calamity of his pending and ongoing divorce, and the guy literally just breaks down in the meeting. Okay, so he breaks down. Oh, bless his heart.
He has a meltdown.
But it's just real, like, just pure sadness. And I tell you what, those people were on their phones texting Central Command, "Oh my gosh, such and such is having a meltdown in this meeting. Oh my God." And the word went out to Central Command for the agency, and they dispatched the coaching division. And within minutes, I was notified. So just kind of another interesting statement.
Right.
About
people,
how
you know, yeah.
Fast.
But yeah. Anyway. But I mean, at least he got the help, the support.
Yeah,
I mean, it's about getting people the help they need. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of executives, a lot of employees, a lot of managers, middle management, they're afraid to reach out for the help they need because of it going viral. You know what I mean? Within the company and people wanting to still maintain that that privacy. You know what I mean?
The
line between their professional and their personal life. But sometimes stress builds up and things happen that, you know, people tip over at times, you know, because they're human.
Right. And I'll say that on the corporate cases that I work with, that because we don't have the HIPAA standards and confidentiality that we would in a therapeutic, in a psychotherapy or a counseling situation. I will say my experience at the corporations that I've worked with, that my client was going through some personal issues that led to the coaching engagement, that they were fine. As long as the person was getting help and they were moving forward, that they really didn't want to know the minutia. They didn't want to know the guy's dirty laundry or anything like that.
It's still
make
private.
Sure he's okay. He or she is okay, rather, you know, and that's good. So I think that that's great because, man, you know, so many things could be averted with coaching. And even, Cindy, you and I have had this conversation many times where, you know, let's say this company that hires me has the luxury of hiring somebody like me to be a on-call coach, if you will.
Right. Because, on the line because, if they need you.
Right. And so you and I have had very open discussions about marketing our coach selves to other companies, you know, as independent coaches. Cindy and I we're not in agency together, but we're both coaches.
We collaborate.
We had a show together, folks, as in you're listening to. So anyway, so But you know what? I think HR directors are going to see the value in coaching, because these companies, right, even though they're publicly held companies, they have invested a ton of time and money and resources in their higher level employees.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, the right thing to do is to try to keep those people if at all possible.
Right, right.
You know?
It absolutely makes the most sense. And
yeah.
You know, when there's a crisis in somebody's life, to have some support system there, or even just, you know, the internal changes that happen, the change of command,
yeah,
the sell of a company, the new CEO. I mean, these things create a lot of exiting of good people.
Or even if it is a knucklehead thing, you know, the person's got 15 plus years in the company and they're at a high level, and you know what, are we going to lose this person? You know, are we going to lose this person over, you know, bad texting or not? You know what I mean? Are we going to try to do some education and training around this and keep an otherwise viable employee? Now, I know that there's some people that need to be fired. Don't get me wrong. There's people that need to be let go, that the behavior was heinous, or the fallout, you know, just like the Bill O'Reilly thing. They hung on until it just reached, you know, what, $30 million hit? I don't know what it was that Fox took. And they finally had to let Bill O'Reilly go because the pain threshold had been exceeded, you know.
I'm with you on that. There are times, and rightfully so, probably for not just the company who's taken the financial hit, you know, in a major, bigger way, but sometimes it's the right thing for the employee.
Yeah. And I look at that. I'm not picking on O'Reilly, folks. I mean, I'm a conservative fellow, but how many instances of that type of behavior are going on right now in America? I know. Tens of thousands. I'll answer that question for you. And, you know, and companies are suffering. People are suffering. And, man, you know, for people like Cindy and I to go in there and coach these folks that are perpetrating this type of behavior, it can be stopped. You can stop it in its tracks.
It can be turned around. I think is a good way to
absolutely.
Say it, too, because it can be addressed and turned around and resolved, and people can perform at a much higher level, which only is it's in everybody's best interest, right?
And just think about the collateral damage. You know, now you have other staff members or women or whomever the victim targets were. Now they're able to kind of sleep at night and go into work and not have a knot in their stomach. Thinking,
oh yeah, yeah.
Damn, am I going to be harassed today? Damn, you know what's going to happen? And people are throwing
what are they
up
gonna
before
do?
They go into work.
Right.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? What are they going to say? Yeah.
And so, you know, I think about these things not only at the client level, but I think about them systemically. I mean, man, I was in the Justice Department for nearly a quarter of a century. And boy, you want to talk about a system.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's a
ripple
in that pond. That goes a long way, you know. So anyway,
I think it's important, you know, discussion that we're having, you know, is people need to feel safe to get the support they need, not just personally, but professionally. I think in the corporations today, I mean, things are changing. We know that. And companies are hiring coaches, and there's companies that have head psychologists, and they're really there to support the entire employee staff. But, you know, historically, people were afraid to bring personal problems to the forefront, you know, because HR works for the company, right?
Right.
And, you know, so it's a delicate, it's not that they're not there to support you, but I think employees are afraid to come forward because they don't know where that file goes, right?
Right. And so I don't know how you do it, and they're trying to do it, but to have coaching as part of that, it's almost like an EAP model where, you know, the coaches don't work for the company, but they do the job, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and that's one thing
mm-hmm.
I've really appreciated again. And I think my clients have appreciated that I wasn't a company man, right? That I was
exactly.
a contractor, and I was able to speak freely and make my own decisions. And, you know, at some
well,
level,
you're not infiltrated mm-hmm. into the corporate culture,
right.
You know, so you have that outside perspective and perception, which I think can be really valuable to somebody who needs a little, you know, support through something.
Exactly. And it gives the client more comfort that, oh, well, you're just not, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid from the company, and you're just another person sent from HR to try to get me to fly north and whatever else. It's like,
when I want to fly south.
Yeah. And so with that, but also that there's a two-edged sword. They feel comfortable on one instance, but boy, because I'm a contractor, that also frees me up to be, you get the whole Bruce Cameron here, and sometimes that's not a good, it's a little bit more than you want, like the other guy who's running from me, but seriously, that's a good balance. And so what I'm trying to do, with, my coaching practice and yours, because you're always on my mind, when I go out places and stuff,
we just want to be a service, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know we talk quite a bit, and being available and being of service, it's such a rewarding business coaching to be in. It's so heartfelt because we really, really want to help people, and it's very impactful when you see people so thrilled to be working with you and getting the breakthroughs and making the progress. I don't know. It's pretty special stuff, wouldn't you say?
Oh, but you know what though? It talks, and here's what I mean: how it talks. In my world, I could tally up, because I look at the metrics and I look at the pre-post metrics. What were they doing? What were they bringing in? What was going on?
Yeah.
Their sales? What was
Absolutely.
Their service lines? What kind of growth were they doing? What have they done during the coaching experience? And let me tell you something. I have brought some firms millions of dollars, right? Millions of dollars that I was a facilitator bringing in that income. And I'm not going to lie about it, and it's not being a narcissist. I'm just saying that it is what it is, because this C-suite performer can now perform better.
Yes.
and create business, create new channels, be creative, be a thought leader, be an influencer and a thought leader, and all those things that we do to help people. We apply that in a corporate sphere, and man, that has good consequences in terms of dollars. So I don't want this to be like the feel good California show, and
it's all about
hugging trees out here.
It's all about that, Bruce. Straight.
I'm not hugging any trees out here. No,
you know, I'm a businesswoman, so it's about the money too. But
But I'm just saying, what's the value add? Well, how about a couple of million or let's take this to scale? Show me some metrics, and I bet you I can give you a timeline, a dream line, and a money line here. 6 months out down
the chain.
That can
be one of your things. Timeline, dream line, money line.
Dream line's kind of soft. This kind of sounds coachy. What's your dream line? It's very coachy. I love that aspect of it too, being a small businessman myself, and I get a lot of vicarious pleasure because I'm not making those millions of dollars, but I do, I do get some pleasure seeing.
Yeah,
seeing
yeah, it's
these,
nice to
these
see
guys
performance.
And gals just busting it, I'm like, wow, man, that is so cool. And
well, and them feeling good about what they're doing, that's like when you really help somebody move forward and you're really there with them and they're empowered to go out and make a difference in the world in any way they choose, and really perform better and feel and get their self-esteem and the empowerment of that, that's that's good shit.
It is good stuff, man. It's real good. And why suffer if you don't have to? You know what I mean?
I think some people don't know. They just don't know the help is available. And, I know we often point to this, and some shows we don't, but the reason we started the show was to get more people understanding what a coach is and what coaching can do for you. And I believe that a lot of people still, even though this is such a rapidly growing profession, I still believe most people do not understand what a coach is. And so that's part of why we're doing the show every Tuesday at noon on LA Talk Radio. We really want people to understand what it is and what it isn't and what it can do for you. Some people don't know it's available. They don't understand. They don't understand the model.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back of what you and I have achieved thus far. And in the short time that we've been doing this show, and I think about the depth and breadth of people that we've had on this show,
amazing
amazing people, from Brian Cuban last week all the way to you know, folks that we've had in the addiction treatment field, with Cali Estes and others. You know, we've had some great, great survivor coach, you know, PTSD survivor coach, Christian coaches, nutrition coaches, creative coaches. I mean, we have written, I don't even think we've really, I mean,
and we got
so
more to come
more out there. We got
yeah,
more
there's
to come.
Tons.
And so I am, and folks, believe it or not, Cindy and I don't sit in a smoke-filled room and strategize this stuff. I mean, just the opportunities come. And I think our show has been based on attraction rather than promotion. We don't have a PR firm promoting this show. I mean, we just have really simple, you know, Facebook pages, presence on the station site, you know, iTunes, Google Play, and you know, and so we're really just a small-time deal. But I'll tell you what, I am super proud of what we've been able to accomplish, Cindy, in terms of the breadth and depth of coaches that we've had on the show. And I get positive feedback all the time
yes.
from Texas listeners.
I do as well.
And Florida people and Cali people that I run into in my travels. Like, man, you know, I actually enjoy listening to your show, and it's pretty meaningful. So that makes me feel really
and
good.
And it's all about being just being yeah. available. Like, we're just really trying to do something so people understand it a little bit better. And, you know, because I think, I don't know, Bruce, I'm sure you feel the same way because we often think alike, but it's such a remarkable industry, and there's so many incredible people in the coaching field. I cannot begin to tell you how many people yeah. I have met and students I have taught that are such amazing human beings. I could go on and on and on about all of them. But, you know, sometimes I feel like it's, you know, it's just this little hidden gem right. that nobody really knows about. You know what I mean? Do you ever feel like that? Like, it's just right. like, it's almost like a private society or something.
You know, and I'm going to, There is a former student of yours from several weeks back. I am kind of coaching him with his coaching practice, his podcast, his brand. We're going to get him on the show. I mean, this guy.
Fabulous. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
He is a round peg in a round hole with what he's going to do. I am so happy for him.
That's exciting.
I just almost go into a seizure. I can't believe how this guy and this guy's his paradigm and doing he'll be doing podcasts, and he's very portable, and he travels, and he has a very interesting a niche that he's going to fill. And man, I am so stoked, and so, you know, we'll be on standby for him.
Amazing.
We're going to bring him on the show and many others to come. So
Yeah, I mean, the people that we coach, you know, like I always talk about it being such a remarkable, very unique relationship. Yeah. And you really do bond in a way that is quite unusual compared to other relationships, you know. And the stories, you know, to see the people I work with, to see them push ahead, to see them make their dreams come true, to see them build that business and get out and start doing it. Like, yeah. I love startup coaching, because what I really want to do for people is get you out of startup mode. You can't stay
right.
in startup forever. It's like put a deadline. You know, there's got to be an end to startup. End your
right.
startup date and start doing
right.
what you have always wanted to do, and get out there and help people. And right. you know, so I feel like every time I get somebody up and out and going, I you know, like, how many people are they going to touch in ways they would have never touched them? And to me, that, you know, I just feel really urgently passionate about it. Like, let's go, because I know that these are incredible human beings, and it is tough to push yourself through startup mode. There is so much to handle and so much to think about. And if you have never had any experience running a business before, which a lot of people I work with have not, I come from a business background, but a lot of people have not, and they really need that support and education and tooling and just to make it happen quicker, so they don't have to spend so much money, A, doing it, and B, can get out there and start producing an income.
Exactly. And just like I crashed your class a couple of Sundays. No, I didn't crash it, but man, you could tell.
You were invited. You were invited.
I know. But I could tell the look on their faces. I'm like, hey, don't get a website right now. Use Facebook, use LinkedIn, use Twitter, use these free platforms to start to build your brand and build some efficacy. Then maybe get a website down the road, and, you know, and just kind of telling them what I did, A, with my coaching practice, and B, with this show. You know what I mean? Using those same techniques to kind of build a brand, get the word out there to an extent. Obviously, it's not the same as having a PR person on deck and having
right.
Hootsuite and sending out thousands of tweets a day and really kind of going at it. We're not in that kind of frame, but
you know what? Everybody. Yeah. My big thing too is everybody is unique. And yep. uniquely gifted, and we're going to go out and do different businesses, and, you know, reach different target audiences, have different passions, different joys, different strengths, like we talked about, the strength finders.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, like if you are going to be pushing in all directions and trying to do things you absolutely hate doing, you're never going to sustain it. So I'm big on, you know, find a couple vehicles to get it going and get in front of people. That you don't have to do everything to build the business. I'm kind of old fashioned that way too. You know, like there's a lot of what I do may be different in terms of building a business than somebody else might do. So I really do allow and believe in unique individualism when it comes to, there's not one formula for everybody, you know?
Right. And I think there's an element of being flexible. I know when you and I first, we're talking about our show here. We were going to talk about, okay, we're going to talk about what you do and I do, and we're going to talk about a different coaching technique every week and this and that and the other. And you know what? It kind of transformed into showcasing other coaches, and that was just a better
right.
way to do it. And you know what? People had interest mm-hmm. and they wanted to come on the show. And remember, people came into our lives. People came into your life. People mm-hmm. came into my life, and then people kind of came into our lives because you and I would actually intersect here and there when I go to California, right? We'd have our little meetings and have our friends from my side and you know, on your side as well. But you know, kind of join us for lunch, and we'd have some synergy there and stuff like that. And man, you know, so it is kind of interesting in a human mediated business how you have to be a little bit flexible. Because you never know where you're really going to, you know, that your business or your service may take a turn.
Yes.
And,
I agree with that. You have to be really open. It's like, you know, be available, be open, you know, to, I'm all about who needs help. Now, I'm not the right coach for everybody. And same with you. I mean, but I certainly know enough people. I got a referral list, you know, I can divert people for the help that they need, you know, so that's really cool too, because you do develop this community. And I agree with you. I think it's really interesting to have all the different guests on. And also, I think it's interesting to have people on who have had wonderful experiences with coaching themselves. And we've done that. But, you know, that's something we could probably do a little bit more of is let people come in and share how they grew their business or their, you know, move their life in a positive direction because they have been coached and it's been a valuable service to them.
Yeah, I you know, I'd love to hear, and again, I don't really know a lot about it's interesting, I don't know a lot about coaching somebody on a startup or a business. I coach people in business
right.
through stick points and issues and growth, personal growth, so that they can function better in their business, in their service line. But
right, and then there's coaches who, you know, help people transition out of corporate executive roles
right.
and into business or coach them into like what you do, staying, because a lot of people bail based on one or two things going wrong and maybe that wasn't the right decision for them. So if coaches were available to assess and determine what the issues are and the push points and help them work through it, they may be able to stay and be happy again where they're working.
That's an interesting point. You know, Cindy, I've done two exiting people now that left the place of employment that had retained me, and assisting them with that process of exiting the company, and they were both very different. You know what I mean? One was a male, one was a female. One was exiting, kind of needing a job, and one was exiting, kind of had one right there, you know, waiting. Pretty much, all you need to do is pull a trigger. But both were very interesting, and I learned so much, you know, that, you know, leaving a company is very involved, and it can be
very traumatic, by the way.
Yep, right, with a lot of moving parts in there.
Yes.
And so I was very humbled, and but yet very attentive to my clients, and all the way to that last day of work until they transitioned out, and making sure things were going as good as possible. And
that's nice.
And you know, and it's interesting because it's good for the person, right? It's good for business later on.
Absolutely good for the person. Are you kidding me? Oh, good for the company that way too, but good for the person. If you had a coach that worked you through the exit, especially if it was, you know, a bad ending. You know, it's not always a good ending. Let's be real. It's some endings are not so hot. And and to have somebody work through that with you so you didn't carry that toxic negativity with you into the next position can be a real value to somebody.
Yeah. Love that point about carrying the toxicity.
Yeah.
Boy, love that point. And, man, I'm going to tell you, I don't think I achieved that. I just got these folks through and off to the other side, and I think they still.
But you don't know that. You know, maybe you did. Maybe you did help them process through it, so they didn't have to drag. You know, like drag some resentment and anger with them.
Sure.
For two or 3 years.
They might have gone from a 10 to a 7. So it is a spiritual victory.
There you go. Any progress is progress, right?
That's right, baby.
That's right. If you don't have to drag that shit with you, that's progress, right?
So good point. Good point there. So, I think that, you know, this is kind of fun, man, kind of talking again about, we're talking about things at this meta level, and Cindy, me and you've got to do some, like, straight up, you know, Wheel of Fortune or what? Yeah, some of those
Wheel of Fortune, tools,
whatever that thing was in the book. No, anyway, there's some different things. There's some different simple.
Oh, the life wheel, Yes. Wheel of Fortune. Why don't you just make up your own and call it a Wheel of Fortune? I kind of like that one actually.
Confabulating
Bruce.
Words here. Like,
let's put our heads together on that. That could be utilized like very well in the corporate world. We could
there
use that.
There you go. There you go.
See, we could use it. Wheel of Fortune, not the life wheel.
It. That's right,
what can you do? What can you focus on to bring you more income and the company more profitability?
Get the money you deserve. No,
the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune, right?
Yeah, the Wheel of Fortune.
Of course, we may not be able to call it that. There might be some trademark issues and stuff like that.
It could be. Mm-hmm. Could be getting a knock on the door from some big attorney out there from the West Coast. So we don't want to upset that apple cart.
No. We don't want to do that. But it is fun to just talk to, you know, like we have to have that break maybe every month or every 4 to 6 weeks and just really talk about our own experiences and how rewarding this profession really is and also how available we are if there's anybody out there listening.
Absolutely.
That needs a specific type of coach. If
right.
we can give service or we can help you find the right coach for you depending on what's going on in your personal or professional or both.
And, you know, absolutely. And think about it, folks. That's true. We are a great, great resource.
I mean,
the collective between what Cindy has done and who she knows, who I know, and who the show has brought in, folks, we really have covered a lot of ground. So if you are interested in a coach, and I have made some coaching referrals, we are kind of nationwide. That's the world we live in with the internet and
global. Travel. It's a very global business.
And global, but certainly nationwide. So don't hesitate to contact us and do that. So with that said, I think we're kind of getting down to
the end of the show.
So sad.
Actually, I got a client warming right at one, so we got it. Yeah.
There you go, man. You got one in the bullpen. So we got about 2 minutes left. So with that all said, man, what a great show. Glad to
thanks, Bruce.
Share some
fun.
Of these anecdotes with our listeners and appreciate y'all's patience. But it should have been, seems like it'll be a fun listening experience for you. So with that said, please, I can be reached at conciergecoach.net or Twitter, Cameron Coaches, on Facebook, facebook.com/conciergecoacheshow. And feel free to contact me if you have any questions. And Cindy, what's your contact info?
Phone number 714-943-6206. I'm very verbal. And my website at wisdomfoods.com. I also have a Wisdom Foods Facebook and a personal page as well, Cindy Deferdinand. Very nice to chat with you today, Bruce. And yes. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Rest of Tuesday to all of our listeners.
Yes. And don't forget to try to find the show. Find the show on the archives on latalkradio.com. Content, Concierge Coaches Show. We're also on iTunes and Google Play. And I will have the show summaries updated. Our producer will get those up for this month here in the next 3 days. So you'll get to see the show summaries here in a few days when we get those loaded. So with that, have a great week and be with us again here on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show. See y'all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.